All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Nice little short weekend show tonight. I've guaranteed the boys no later than 10-12. You can put your numbers down if you'd like, but I'm going with 10-12 tonight. That's going to be it. All right, so an hour and 2 minutes, and we'll be done. Hour and 2 minutes. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Granite 2468, you are first. Key Lime 13. John Phillips is on. Scooter 8887. Tina Rowena is on. Let me scoot down. Here we go. Richard Perry 49 is on. Sexy Pony's on. Those Jesus People is on. Prayers Work 2 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Six Lynn is on. Mike Griffith, you said that the, saw that you put out that the Fort Myers City Council has now reversed their decision. Remember, we showed that the other night with the crying committee woman from the Fort Myers City Commission about the ICE agreement with the Fort Myers Police Department. When they're like, people voted, she's one of them that voted against the Fort Myers Police Department actually cooperating with federal authorities. Well, they've now reversed their decision and gone 6-0, according to Mike Griffith. So somebody got a wake up call. Six Lynn is on. Charlie 340 is on. Salty Gonads is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Gritterdom is on. Robin Aroni is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Todd Suff is on. Conservative Warrior 65 is on. Order in the Court is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. D9597 is on. Sammy Jr. 07 is on. The one and only Big Jim Go Blue is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Let me see here. LA 106 Times is on. Jim Brody is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. The great T1 Gold something. Aaron and I were trying to figure out because I know you told us. Now we can't remember. But anyway, we love you. Mark 1069 is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Golfmaster 1 is on. TTTUS is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Lisa Kinzer is on. Leon Fishpuppy is on. Waterline 46 is on. 1961 Kid is on. All right, love you guys. Well, the USA Abbey Girl, I see you on there. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. All right, let's go through judges first, but I do want to talk about this before I forget. From Colin Rugg, Brent dug this up before the show. Somehow it slipped past me. I don't know how. But anyway, one day this week, Trump is selling his gold cards into the United States. Just brilliant. I mean, just freaking brilliant. Greatest time to be an American right now. Look at this shirt right there. I mean, there you go. Trump 4547. But anyway, got that at the Trump Hotel in Vegas. Greatest gift shop ever. But anyway, he sold 1,000 of these gold cards in a day. Colin Rugg is the source. They're $5 million each. What's that add up to, Aaron?
That's $5 billion.
$5 billion in a day, Trump made. Trump made $5 billion, which is basically a green card plus to come in and do business inside of the United States of America. When's a Democrat ever done that? In the entire life of the Democratic Party, they have never raised $5 billion in a day. Amazing. For you and me, it's for the business of the United States of America. All right, here we go. Let's move on to judges now, because this is what is stopping. The title of the show is The Deportations Continue. We will get to the border. Big stuff happening at the border. Mass cancellations of the immigrants, the illegal immigrants that were flown into the country. 500,000 of them had their, I don't know what you want to call it, their status, their so-called quote-unquote legal status canceled by Trump. They have to deport themselves by April 10th. But we'll get to that in a minute. So the judges that are trying to stop all this, and again, ask yourself, why would a judge ever want to stop the deportations of illegal aliens? Because somehow or another, they're connected with profiting off of it. Donald J. Trump, long Truth Social post, unlawful nationwide injunctions by radical left judges. This is what you have to do. This is how you have to speak. Could very well lead to the destruction of our country. These people are lunatics who do not care even a little bit about the repercussions from their very dangerous and incorrect decisions and rulings. Lawyers endlessly search the United States for these judges. That's what we call what? Judge shopping. And file lawsuits, and that would be Norm Eisen, Mark Elias, people like that who are secretly sort of stopping the Trump administration to some degree. And file lawsuits as quickly as they find them it is then the obligation of law-abiding agencies of government to have these orders overturned. The danger is unparalleled. These judges want to assume the powers of the presidency without having to attain 80 million votes. They want all of the advantages with none of the risks. Again, a president has to be allowed to act quickly and decisively about such matters as returning murderers, drug lords, rapists, and other such type criminals back to their homeland or to other locations that will allow our country to be safe. And if you are a Democrat, you oppose that sentence. As a Democrat, you oppose a president has to be allowed to act quickly and decisively about such matters as returning murderers, drug lords, rapists, and other criminals back to their homeland or to other locations that will allow our country to be safe. To be a Democrat in 2025, you have to be in opposition to that. It is our goal to make America great again. And Norm Eisen is behind the scenes filing lawsuit to keep the murderers in. Filing lawsuits to keep the child sex traffickers in the country. Filing lawsuits to keep the drug traffickers and the drug traffickers in the country. That's what Norm Eisen is on and about doing. And such a high aspiration can never be done if radical and highly partisan judges are allowed to stand in the way of justice. Stop nationwide injustice now before it is too late. If Justice Roberts and the United States Supreme Court do not fix this toxic, and that's who has to stop it, and he knows it, and I'm going to explain to you why in a minute. Justice Roberts has not stopped it. Chief Justice Roberts has not stopped it. And the United States Supreme Court do not fix this toxic and unprecedented situation immediately. Our country is in very serious trouble. All right, let's go to the next one. Here it is. Here's the number so far. And Matt, look at this. Look at the total. It's worse than I thought. It's worse than I thought by a lot. Federal injunctions, total, 127 total in since 1963. So what is that? That would be, so 63 to 2003 would be 40, and then another, so 62 years. So in 62 years, there was a total of 100, it sounds like vaccine death stats, doesn't it, Aaron?
No.
So it's a total from 1963 till now, 127 total injunctions against the President of the United States. Donald Trump has 79. 79 of them have gone to Donald J. Trump. 15 alone since February. This is absolute lawfare by liberal leftist judges like Boasberg and all the rest of them, Shutkin and all the rest of them. And it is completely unlawful for the judiciary to rule the executive. What the judiciary does is rules on established law. Not executive EOs or executive actions. The judiciary is to rule on constitutional law. That is it, both local, state, and city law. That's what they rule on, established law. They don't create law. They don't, as Boasberg has done, command that flights turn around mid-flight. So Donald Trump's first term, 64 in 4 years. So right now, since February, he's averaging about 10 a month. So by the end of the year, he'll have more than the total from 1963, if it continues on. And again, this is being run by Norm Eisen and Mark Elias. That is who's running all of these things. And really right now, Elias seems to have faded into the background. This is all Norm Eisen doing these. These are the people that we need to be paying attention to. Everybody knows the name. So what Soros does is he operates in elections and makes sure that Soros state attorneys are, or district attorneys, whatever you call them, in your local jurisdiction, are in place to not prosecute real crime so that they can come after your guns. They gives them some sort of justification to come after your guns when there's rapid gun crime, because Soros attorneys will not prosecute criminals, including gun crime, then it gives them a precedent to go and try to seize law-abiding citizens' guns. There's always motives. And that right there is the Norm Eisens of the world. That's the Soros part of the world. And then the Norm Eisen part of fighting Trump is to launch these ridiculous lawsuits. And everybody's afraid to blow off the rulings of these judges. Everybody's, and I don't blame them. I honestly don't blame them. But it probably is going to come a time, because by the time these things go through the Supreme Court, you are talking about years from now, 2-3 years by the time they make all of them, because there's, I can't remember how many are currently even going. I would say a minimum of 15. I guess some of them may have been resolved, and they're all these temporary injunctions. They're not even rulings. They're temporary injunctions where the court reserves the right to reconsider 30 days from now. And then after that, they extend the temporary injunction where the court reserves the right to reconsider 60 days from now. And it ends up being a couple years worth of temporary injunctions. So you see the numbers. And what you have to ask, and by the way, I'm trying to remember what the Bush numbers were. I thought they were on there, but they're not. The Bush numbers were like 7 or 3 or something. It was single digits for all, because George W. Bush is no different than Biden and no different than Obama. All right, let's go to the next one. So here basically are the judges behind a lot of these things. Not all of them. There's other ones, obviously, with 15 current injunctions against Donald Trump. Judge Paul Engelmeyer. And now, again, let's observe the looks of all of these men, shall we? It's part of the show. They're all effeminate men. Not one of these guys could do one push-up. Not one of these guys could bench press 200 pounds. Not one of these guys is physically able to do anything in their life. So they want to flex their pseudo-muscles from the bench and actually create law from the bench. You're supposed to rule on law from the bench, not create law. The worst one of all, in my opinion, is Boasberg. But Judge Paul Engelmeyer, look at this dork for a top left, blocked Trump administration from auditing the Treasury Department. This is the idiot. We're going to deep dive into these guys. This is the idiot that wouldn't allow our current Treasury Secretary to enter the building. Just imagine if the roles were reversed right now and it was a Democratic Party administration, God forbid, but if it were, and we were filing these injunctions in red jurisdictions, which, by the way, it would appear that now the precedent is you have to impeach the opposing party's president every time. That's the new precedent that's been set. So if, God forbid, Kamala was elected, you have to impeach her. And you have to impeach her while she's in office and after she's in office, or you're going to continue to be impeached or our party's going to continue to be impeached for the rest of our lives. Because until you make them live with their own policies, make them live with their own agenda, they'll continue to do so. So Engelmeyer wouldn't even allow the Treasury Secretary to enter the building. Then you have Judge John Bates blocked Trump administration from editing web pages on a government site. How does a judge not allow a Treasury Secretary to enter a building and not allow the chief executive to edit web pages on the chief executive's own governmental websites? Then you have Judge John McConnell, another very effeminate man, blocked Trump administration from reviewing the use of federal funds. You're not even allowed to look. As the President of the United States is not allowed to look at how federal funds are being spent. That's all an attempt to shut down DOGE. The men on the top right-hand corner of each one of these picks are the men that are filing their impeachment paperwork against these judges. So Judge James Boasberg tried to block Trump administration from deporting Trinidad Iroquois gang members. Why would you do that? Oh, that's right. Because his daughter is part of a multi-million dollar NGO that defends them. So her paycheck depends on there being a constant stream of Trinidad Iroquois members that need his daughter's NGO services. I wonder why he wouldn't want them to leave, because each one of the people on that plane will require the assistance of his daughter's NGO. And it just harkens back to Juan Merchan and his daughter, Lauren Merchan, who is making millions of dollars off of the Trump NYC campaign finance litigation. Let's go to the next one. Adam Hughes tweet, Lawfare In an egregious and unconstitutional assault on executive authority, Judge Paul Engelmeyer has unilaterally forbidden all of Trump's political appointees, including Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, remember that, from accessing Treasury Department data. This ruling, concocted without legal precedent or constitutional justification, is nothing short of judicial sabotage. Worse, it was issued ex parte. I just wanted to see the meat and potatoes of these rulings. Meaning Trump administration lawyers weren't even given notice. This is all judicial sabotage, and nobody will dare challenge it because it's coming from a judge. If you and I pulled this stuff in private society, we'd be in prison. Lawyers weren't given notice, which they're not allowed to do. Weren't allowed to argue and weren't even in the room. Only Democrat attorneys were given, in general, were heard. I mean, you're like, how can this happen? This is what's been going on. We played you the video the other night where you had Harriet Hageman talking about how Republican poll workers were banned by a leftist judge for years from working at polling locations in numerous states. You wonder why it is that, well, how in the world did we lose that? It appeared there's Trump signs everywhere and there's no Biden signs or there's no Clinton signs, whatever election it was. How did we lose those? Because they're corrupt elections and a judge barred Republican. Pull this up, Harriet Hageman, pull it up. It's absolutely true. It's not right-wing conspiracy. A judge put that in place. It went on for decades. And then when it finally ran out, Democrats tried to get it again, but there was a new judge sitting in the seat. And the judge said, this is absolutely unconstitutional to not allow Republican poll workers to work elections. That's what's going on in this country right here. Only Democrat attorneys general were heard issuing a predetermined outcome. Only Democrats were allowed in the room. Engelmeyer's order is legally indefensible. He cites no statutory basis because none exists. They're supposed to rule on statutes, not create them. All right, let's go to the next one because I got to read a lot about that. All right, Truth Now tweet. Just in, Rep. Eli Crane officially files, and all those guys on the pics that I just showed you have filed articles of impeachment for far-left Judge Paul Engelmeyer, who blocked DOJ's Treasury access. Go to the next one for me. Just wanted you to see what's happening. Lawfare, at Amuse tweet. Excuse me. Lawfare, the first LGBTQ federal judge in D.C., quoted the Broadway musical Hamilton. That's what you want coming from the judge, isn't it, Aaron? Isn't that what you want? If you were standing before somebody who is deciding your fate, wouldn't you want your political adversary to be the one deciding it? And just trust them that they're going to be fair and unbiased? While they're quoting Hamilton? In her ruling, forcing Trump to allow transgender troops to serve in the U.S. military. To be a Democrat. Now, again, we're either ruled by effeminate men or women attempting to be masculine. Look at her. Of course, she's LGBTQ, so she's only trying to attract women because she has absolutely zero chance of ever attracting a man. So she had to turn to women. She had to turn to fat women. That's all. That is her pocket. That is her milieu. Would be fat women. That's it. In a ruling forcing Trump to allow transgender troops to serve in the U.S. military. This is what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. We have to have transgender people in our military. Who would? I mean, do people like her? Does she ever realize that she is nestled under the protection of right-wingers' wings? None of these people would even have the ability to rule from the bench if it wasn't for us protecting them. It's right-wingers in the military. It's right-wingers in law enforcement. It's right-wingers in the fire department. It's right-wingers that are SEAL Team 6. It's right-wingers that are actually masculine men. I was at my son's MMA practice today. Everybody in there loves Trump. Every single person loves Trump. Every one of those MMA fighters, I'm talking about UFC fighters, everybody were in that room. They all love Trump. Who these people ever realize they live under the shelter of our wing? We basically allow them to exist via our protection. The Biden-appointed judge determined without evidence because she's not, they're supposed to rule on established law. On established precedent, not create it and not create law. The Biden appointed judge determined without evidence there are more than two genders. Explain that. What's the evidence that there's more than two genders? Explain that to me. All right, let's go to the next one. Adam Hughes pick this time. We're raiding Adam Hughes big time. Great site. Follow him or her on Twitter. Oh, here's our favorite. Here's Bossberg. Obama judge conducting evidentiary investigation into Trump White House. Judge, this is brand new, by the way. This is the same judge who wanted to turn around the Trende Aragua flights heading to Bukele in El Salvador. Obama judge conducting evidentiary investigation into Trump White House. Judge Bosberg ordered President Trump. This is not a Supreme Court. This is a federal judge, all of which are located in D.C. And how many federal judges do we need in freaking D.C.? How many do we actually need? All of these people are giant steaming piles of human feces. How many giant piles of human feces do we need in Washington, D.C.? Bosberg ordered President Trump to submit by March 21st, which I believe is today, right? Yeah. A declaration from a cabinet-level insider explaining why the administration's handling of state secrets did not violate the court's temporary restraining order. Ordered Trump by March 21st to have a declaration from the cabinet-level insider explaining why the administration's handling of state secrets did not violate the court's TRO, temporary restraining order. So Trump has to explain to the judge why he doesn't have to hand over state secrets to a federal judge. I thought we had three separate branches, of which he's really not even a part. He's a federal judge, but really it's the Supreme Court, it's Congress, and it's the president. So those are the three separate branches. Bosberg is now functioning like a special prosecutor. And by the way, when does a judge ever do that? Isn't that what a prosecutor would do? Isn't that what a litigator? I thought there was a difference between litigator and judge. The litigator should be asking for evidence, not a judge. A judge does not conduct the prosecution. This is a lawsuit from the ACLU versus the Trump administration. Why is he aiding the ACLU? It reminds me of the collusion between the DHS or CDC or NIH, whatever it was, federal government, that files a lawsuit in favor of Pfizer to sequester the Pfizer developmental data for its COVID vaccine for 75 years. The federal government, the CDC, the NIH files a lawsuit to keep classified the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine developmental data for 75 years on behalf of a private institution, on behalf of a private global company, which is the very definition of fascism, is the merging of corporatism and governance. All right, let's go to the next one. I just want to show you the official court documents right here. By March 21st, 2025, defendants, that's Donald J. Trump, shall submit a sworn declaration by a person with direct involvement in the cabinet-level discussions regarding invocation of the state's secrets privilege. So the Trump administration has to give an explanation of why it is that the Trump administration is invoking the state secrets privilege. You know why they're invoking Aaron, do you know why they're invoking the state secrets privilege?
Why?
Because it's state secrets.
Yeah.
It doesn't go to a federal judge. It doesn't go to the Supreme Court. It's the executive branch. And enjoy it while you can, Democrats, because all that you're doing is showing us a path to when maybe if you're ever you ever elect a president again, we'll do the exact same thing to you in red jurisdictions. Enjoy it while you can. By March 25th, Donald J. Trump shall submit a declaration indicating whether or not the government is invoking the privilege. They should, and they are, I hope. By March 25th, defendants shall file a brief showing cause why they did not violate, showing why it is they haven't already violated the law. Explain to us how you didn't violate the court's temporary restraining order. Well, I got the reason for you, Bosberg, because that restraining order cannot be put on a president. You don't have the jurisdiction to put a TRO on a president. There it is. Simple. Done. I should be an attorney. Let's go to the next one. Paul Sperry tweet. Let's dive into Bosberg, shall we? Here we go. New on a look at the date there. It's from yesterday. New on a $247,000 a year federal salary. Okay, he gets paid that much. Property records show that Bosberg lives in a $2.4 million house in one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in D.C. Is that kickbacks from his daughter who works for the NGO that represents Trende Aragua and other illegal immigrants cases? Is that the kickback? Is that a kickback from his daughter? who gets hundreds of thousands of dollars per year in pay from an NGO that you and I fund. You and I fund Bossberg. You and I fund the man. We fund his daughter. That's all the United States is currently. Trump's trying to win it back. But currently, all the United States is right now is a creator of NGOs that are fully staffed by only employ Democrats, paying them millions of dollars to disseminate money. That's all that they do. That's what the United States is right now. They hire attorneys with it. They hire Perkins Coie with it. They hire Norm Eisen. And you and I are paying Norm Eisen's salary right now to file lawsuits against our president. How does he afford a $2.4 million house on a $247,000 a year salary? I'd like to know that. All right, let's go to the next one. The Gateway Pundit tweet revealed Chief Justice. This is the good one here. Wonder why it is that Chief Justice Roberts keeps ruling against us. Why does he keep ruling against us? Revealed. Chief Justice John Roberts caught in secretive invite-only club for elite judges and lawyers. That includes James Boasberg, the one that he appointed to the FISA court. Beryl Howe, Emmett Mehta, and of course, the one who has no idea, bottom right, and that I mean that by in more than one way, bottom right, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who cannot define what a woman is. And she is going to determine, imagine this, you're a Supreme Court who's going to rule on crimes against women. How would you do that if you can't determine what a woman is, you can't define what a woman is? How are you going to determine whether or not anybody was ever raped if you can't determine what a woman is? Or any crime against any woman. How would you, because Supreme Court is both criminal and civil, how would you ever decide whether or not a woman has been sexually harassed when you can't determine whether or not the person's a woman? How can you be a Democrat? I mean, how do you look your children in the eye without being able to explain to that person what a male or female is? How do you look your children in the eye as a Democrat and say, I want Trende Aragua rapist to stay in the country and I'm willing to sue to make sure that happens? I want to make sure all the fentanyl just keeps flowing into the country. That's what we're in favor of. All right, so Chief John Roberts, leave this up for me, guys. Leave this up. So he's attending these secret meetings. I got a little article here from Gateway Pundit. It's short. Investigative journalist Bad Kitty Unleashed reported on Thursday that Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts is involved in an invite-only club for elite judges in Washington, D.C. And again, what this is the elites, and it has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. The Republicans, 9 out of every 10 Republicans is a fraudulent conservative holding that seat so that you don't put a legitimate conservative in. Does that make sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
That's all that it is. That's all these people are placeholders, so you don't put a legitimate conservative in there.
Yep.
That's all John Roberts is. Yeah, but he makes some conservative decisions. He has to, or he'd be run out of the court. It keeps Mitch McConnell gets elected over and over again because he confirms conservative judges that then rule against us on J6 defendants. It's all a giant sham. These people are not conservatives. They believe, what they honestly believe, is they get in the room that they're superior to all of us and that they're somehow merging of mindsets. They're merging of, like, it's like a giant think tank. The merging of their thoughts is what will guide America, and it's above all of us. They don't consider right or left, right or wrong. They don't. They just consider, you know what? Our reasonings, you know, our compromises together is above the American voter. So we will decide the ebb and flow of the society. That's who these people are. The elitist club, it's got a name. You can check it all out. America Inns of Court. It's the name of it. America Inns of Court. Also includes radical American-hating judges, James Boasberg, Barrett Howell, Ketanji Brown Jackson, and Emmett Mehta, all hard-left judges and Trump haters, but John Roberts meets with them regularly. That's weird. Aaron, do you meet with a bunch of Trump haters every week?
No,
I don't either. I don't really hang around with a lot of left-hard morons. You know why? You know why I don't hang around left-hard morons? Because they're left-hard morons. I don't want to be in the presence of left-hard morons. I don't like to be in the presence of morons. All right, Judge John Roberts has been Chief Justice of the Supreme Court since September 2005, thanks George W. Bush, and the Supreme Court Chief Justice is holding meetings with far-left district judges who are running a radical, running a judicial coup on the current president of the United States. Just think, 2 days ago, on Tuesday, Chief Justice John Roberts released a statement attacking, this is why. Aaron, yeah, you can flip that in there now. This is why he's meeting with these people. I wonder why he's ruling against us, because he meets at the American Inns of Court with Ketanji Brown Jackson and James Boasberg. So they all sit together and decide our fate, because whatever their random musings are higher level thought than our votes. Higher level thought than the precedent that we've set in law, than the people that we vote into office, and the what we, and higher, of course, than the Bible. I say absolutely not. All right, let's go to the next one. Let's switch to the border. That's enough on the judges. Switch to the border. All right, rapid response 47. Reporter asking Donald Trump in the Oval, do you think you have the power, asking the President of the United States, gosh, is it 940 already? Do you think you have the power to arrest illegal immigrant criminals and deport them? Imagine asking that to the President of the United States. Play it for me.
Do you think you have the authority, the power to round up people, deport them, and then you're under no obligation to a court to show the evidence against them?
Well, that's what the law says, and that's what our country needs, because we were, unfortunately, they allowed millions of people to come into our country, totally unvetted, totally unchecked. So you ought to ask, did he have the authority to allow millions of people? Did Biden have the authority to do something that's unthinkable? Have open borders where millions of people poured into our country, totally unvetted and totally unchecked, just as you would say. And many of those people were criminals. Many of them were from jails and prisons and mental institutions and gang members and drug dealers and very dangerous people. Many were murderers. We have 11,088 that we know of murderers they murdered. Of that number, at least half killed more than one person. They're in our country. They're in a location near you. Biden allowed that to happen to our country and his people that really ran the country. And the person that operated the auto pen, I think we ought to find out who that was, because I guess that was the real president. So when you ask me if we have the authority, did Biden have the authority to allow millions of people to come into our country? Many of these people, hardened criminals at the top of the line, who have caused tremendous damage.
All right, so suddenly we're hearing the left adopt our verbiage, unchecked and unvetted. Let's just go with the word unvetted, because you and I have been uttering that for the last 4 years of the Biden administration, that he's allowing in unvetted illegal aliens to our country to the tune of somewhere between 12 and 21 million, depending on which source you believe. Low end, 12 million. Low end, a New York City and a third into the country in 4 years. So suddenly the left is saying, is it all right for you to, quote unquote, putting in Hitlerian sort of verbiage, round up these illegals without due process? Aaron, let's you and I discuss this for a minute.
Okay.
Do you have due process as an illegal alien?
Nope.
Nope. Sorry. You have nothing. You are illegally in this country. It's just like getting rid of the Hamas activist, Mahmoud, whatever his name is. He's gone, or he's going to be gone. Oh, but he has a green card. Doesn't matter. He has no rights. Sorry. You decide, you know what, you're going to violate the conditions of your green card, you're out. Let alone if you have no card at all and you're just simply an illegal that was let in by Joe Biden with a 7-year notice to appear. You're gone. You have no rights. You have no freedom of speech. You have no right to due process. You have nothing. Those are for you and me and Brent and Aaron. As citizens of the United States, naturalized or not. They're all attacking Elon Musk right now as an African immigrant. It's hysterical. He's a 20-year citizen. He's been a citizen of the United States for 20 years. Naturalized. I mean, not green card holder, citizen of the United States of America.
Yeah.
But suddenly they're adopting our verbiage. You and our verbiage was unvetted. You're allowing in all these illegal, unvetted people. They're concerned about illegals that were caught that are sex offenders being unvetted. Imagine that being a Democrat. That's what you have to be a Democrat in 2025. You have to be concerned about vetting the people that Donald J. Trump is deporting from the country who are sex offenders. We want them properly vetted, though. What they committed a sex crime against a 4-year-old. We want them properly vetted. We want to know that. Imagine that being your political position. I want people who we know were here illegally, who have committed sex crimes, who have committed armed robberies, who have committed DUI manslaughters. Donald Trump is deporting them. We want them properly vetted. You didn't want them properly vetted coming through the southern border, but you want them properly vetted as we deport them through the southern border. Matt, that's what it means to be Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg and Sonny Hostin and Nancy Pelosi. That's what it means to be them. That's what it means to be Tampon Tim Walz right now. Who, by the way, in case I don't get to it, you'll see it in the postgame. He said that he is able, he believes that he is able to kick most conservatives' A. I'll play you the, if I have time, I'll play you the, I can't play it right now because I'm still on Christian Television Network. But that's what he said. He believes that he can kick most conservatives' A's. Tim Walz? Tampon Tim? What was that, Aaron, with the football game? We're going to do a what?
We're going to run a pick six.
We're going to run a pick six.
Yeah.
This is a man who wants to put tampons in men's bathrooms, and he thinks he can kick people's butts. Tampon Tim, who can't even load a firearm correctly. He's stuck on there. Hey, let's go. Let's go with vice presidential candidate Tim Walz on a duck hunt. And he's out there fumbling around. He has no idea how to shoot the gun that he's been given. He can kick everybody's. I mean, Tim Walz. Tim Walz couldn't kick a kitten's rear end. Oh my gosh. So imagine that's the position of it. That is the juxtaposition of the Democratic Party now. Is we want all of these people being deported who are rapists, armed robbers, fentanyl dealers, child sex traffickers. We want them all properly vetted. Is that video, Aaron?
No, it's just a picture of him.
Darn it. If you find a video, you find the video, anything making fun of Tim Walz, I'll play it tonight.
Okay.
Because I can't stand that guy. Especially since he told me that he can kick my butt. I'd like to see him do that. I really would like to see him try that. I loved it. Let's do that, Tim. Matter of fact, I'd put it out there right now. Tim, not threatening you in any way, shape, or form, but if you would like to drive down to Northport, Florida, I'll pay your way. I'll fly you down. Me and you, right here in this room. I'd love to see you try to kick my butt. I would love to see it. A man who cannot bench press 25 pounds. I would love to see you do that. And who I believe is in basically a lesbian relationship with his wife as a receiver. Oh, yeah. That's what I believe.
100%.
A hundo. And all your other suspicious activities that you've been on and about doing.
Yeah.
As well as your lies. But anyway, all right, Bill Malugin tweet. This is huge right here. Absolutely huge. Breaking the Trump administration's revoking the legal status and work permits for more than 500,000 people. Gone. And all the Democrats, you want them all properly vetted. Don't need to be properly vetted. They're here illegally. They have no due process. They have no Second Amendment. They have no First Amendment. They got nothing. They got Fifth. They don't have Fourth. They have nothing. They get deported. That's it. We have to project. You and I have to project our constitutional rights upon them. We have to treat them because you and I cannot violate the Constitution. So we have to treat them with our constitutional rights, but they have none. People aren't bold enough to say that. I am. They have none. Some people are, though. I'm hearing a lot of boldness now on the right. It's revoking the legal status and work permits for more than 500,000 migrants who flew in the United States via President Biden's controversial CHNV migrant flights. Imagine that. You and I, as a Democrat, you have to be in favor of flying in your own rapist. Let's fly in our own armed robbers. Our own armed robbers. Let's fly in our own murderers. Remember, Joe Biden, in a matter of 4 years that we know of, allowed 495,000 convicted criminals to cross the southern border. Unvetted Democrats, you didn't care about them being vetted, but you care about when we deport them. You care about them being vetted when we deport them, but not when they enter the country. Imagine that being your political position, which is the position of the Democratic Party. 495,000 criminals, 30,000 of which were murderers and rapists, all just allowed in with a 7-year notice to appear. Tom, what are you talking about, the 7-year notice to appear? They were given a notice to appear in 7 years to the court. That's it. Go, you know what? You're a child pedo. Oh, you know what? We'll see you in 7 years. Have a good 7 years inside the United States of America. Migrant flights, mass parole program. In a notice posted online, DHS says migrants who came in via these programs will need to self-deport by April within 30 days of the policy change going on to the Federal Register on March 25th. DHS, so they have until April 25th. I got that wrong. I said April 10th earlier. DHS says they will seek to arrest and deport those who do not leave the country within the 30-day window. Bye-bye. And, of course, they're going to challenge us, and Trump eventually is going to have to ignore the injunction because that's what will probably happen. All right, let's go. A little bit of vaccine stuff here. Let's go to the next one. Nicholas Holscher tweet. I'm doing vaccine. I'm just giving one slide vaccine updates for now. I've got a whole vaccine expose, and I've got a bird flu expose, but Trump's too hot to get into that right now. If RFK Jr. is not hot on getting rid of these COVID-19 vaccinations, with sometime between now and the end of the summer, then you're going to see a whole lot of vaccine stuff on the show. And it will be, and, it, and by the way, it'll be very angry, even though I love RFK Jr. and Donald Trump. I want these COVID-19 vaccinations outlawed, and I want them outlawed before they are ever inlawed. All right, reminder, the largest COVID, again, Nicholas Holscher tweet, the largest COVID-19 vaccine safety study ever, Aaron, has been conducted.
Yeah.
Involving a mere 99 million people. Okay, so would everybody agree that that is peer reviewed?
Yeah.
Would everybody agree that that's a legit study when it involves 99 million people?
Jeez.
Confirm that the injections are not safe for human use. Just a 610% increase in myocarditis. That's that a big deal? 610%
increase. Yeah, yeah.
That's the same as the DMED database statistics, by the way. All of this stuff is. 378% increase in the risk of acute disseminated whatever on earth that is. If you know, and you're a medical professional, if you know what that is, I won't even try to pronounce it. Encephalomyelitis, something like that. If you know what that is, put it in the chat so I can tell everybody. 323% increase risk of cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, which I believe is blood clotting. Just, I mean, just a little increase. I mean, the lining around your heart swelling up and being inflamed. That's kind of a problem when you have a heart that's in need of doing what? Let me see. What is it again? Oh, beating. Aaron got it. Oh, my word. That's the one that I didn't know. Aaron already found it. Davy Jones. Why did I even ask anybody else? I mean, Davy Jones gets it in 2 seconds. Aaron, hey, you, some of you guys need to compete with Aaron. Next time I ask for something, see if you can beat him in the chat. We'll have a little Aaron competition. For like a mug or something. But anyway, I know everyone really cherishes our paraphernalia. Aaron, you got the encephalomyelitis. That was kind of close.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's the inflammation of the brain and spinal cord. That's kind of a problem.
Yeah.
When you need a brain and spinal cord to live and you don't really want it inflamed and swollen. And so these, so you bring it back to me. So this, so you have swelling of the lining around the heart, swelling of the brain, swelling of the spinal cord. You only have a 610% increase in the possible swelling of the lining around your heart, a 323% increased chance of your brain or spinal cord swelling, a 240% increased chance of Guillain-Barré syndrome. So, I mean, this is just, I mean, minor percentage increase is 610%,
yeah.
378%, 323%. I mean, 10% would be huge.
Yeah.
4% would be huge. 35 million excess deaths that have been calculated through the Society of Actuaries from the vaccinations. No excess deaths prior to the vaccination, including during the epicenter of COVID-19 in all of 2020. No excess deaths at all. Excess deaths started strangely in February of 2021, 2 months into the rollout of the vaccine. That's when the excess deaths began. I wonder why. And a lot of these deaths are being attributed to either long COVID, which doesn't exist, long COVID, let me just translate that for everybody, is vaccine side effects. And it gets attributed to natural causes, because would a doctor know that a person died of a swollen brain from the vaccine? But you know, the problem is they don't do studies that are correct studies. And a lot of doctors, like Peter McCullough, Ryan Cole, have called for this, that people actually do proper autopsies and actually check the brain. Because what is the vaccine excellent at doing? Penetrating the blood-brain barrier. That's the problem. That's what it's great at. All right, go to the next one for me. Oh, I didn't put it in there. Yeah, I did. I did put it in. I can't believe I did. Hot dog. Aaron got this for me last night. I want you to see this. And I know that this is redundant for the 848 that are watching and those of you that are watching on CTN internationally tonight, not just locally. Some of this is redundant for all of you, but I really, really want people to see. I want people to see what this is. So you compare the deaths. The deaths in the blue are all dead people in 2018. In the orange is all deaths 2020. Huh. Let's just look at the country, shall we? They had more deaths in 2018 than 20 in Hungary. More deaths in Germany in 18 than 20. More deaths in 18 than 20 in Finland. More deaths in 18 in Denmark. More deaths in 18 in Slovakia. More deaths in Norway in 18 than 20. All this I'm comparing to 20. More deaths in Switzerland than 20. More deaths in 18 in Austria than 20. More deaths in 18 in Sweden. So slightly more. Look at there. Yeah. Sweden is the only little exception where there's slightly more deaths than 20. Does that look like the epicenter of a pandemic?
No.
Same thing, slightly more in Portugal. Again, more deaths, slightly more in France, slightly more in the Netherlands, slightly more in the UK, slightly more in Spain, for a total right there. Look at the total. I mean, if there is any more deaths at all, which there isn't because we showed all the independent charts, there's no more deaths. No, none. So you look at the total right there, last line to your right. That's it. That's your pandemic. So all the idiots, and if you're watching and you're one of them and you haven't repented, and even if you're a Christian, yes, I'm calling you an idiot for your own good. All the idiots that strapped on masks and quarantined yourself, got vaccinated, closed your churches, stood 6 feet apart, had Zoom services and closed your businesses, you closed them, you did all of those mitigations for absolutely, listen to this, absolutely freaking nothing. And if that offends you, maybe you're a CTN, maybe you're on CTN right now. Maybe you're a big name pastor that slipped onto this podcast and you're regretting it. Stay on there for just a minute. Have you gone to your congregation and apologized for closing your church in 2020 and 2021 and maybe 2022 when the Delta variant came out? Have you apologized for being absolutely wrong and being oblivious to scripture? Not even being oblivious to scripture. Matthew 16, 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But instead you pimped and hoard vaccines from your pulpit and closed your church and made everybody stand 6 feet apart and wear masks with slits in them that said that we're no longer slaves to fear. Have you ever apologized to your congregations for abusing them that way and lying to them? Have you ever done it? I hope if you're offended by this and you're a pastor, go ahead and email the church. I will gladly defend my position. Gladly. Can you? I haven't heard anybody check me on that yet. Because you have no Bible verses to stand on whatsoever. You closed your churches for a 99.997% survivable virus. You played pretend. You might as well brought out your dollies in a dollhouse and played pretend. Is this, you're a laughing stock buffoon unless you've repented. And I've done lots of stupid crap in my life. The only difference between me and you is that I repent of those things and you haven't. And it's a shame because I haven't seen the body of Christ repent at all. I shouldn't get back into COVID. All right, let's do Doge before if I keep on with this, show's over. Hey, Tom, you're so angry about COVID. I am. You know, I was in the airport and I'm still seeing people walk around with masks. You look at any substantive Democratic Party gathering. The idiots are still wearing masks because it is a swastika for the globalist left. It is a swastika of loyalty for the globalist left. All right, here we go. ACYN, we're at Doge now. We're at Doge now. Doge section. ACYN video. CNN, breaking news. Here's Caitlin Collins lying about Elon and the Pentagon. Play for me.
Breaking news this hour with the New York Times now reporting that Elon Musk is about to potentially get access to some of the nation's most closely guarded military secrets. According to what the Times just reported a few moments ago and published on their website, the Pentagon is scheduled on Friday to brief Elon Musk on the U.S. military's plan for any war that might break out with China. After the Times published this article just a few moments ago, Sean Parnell, the chief Defense Department spokesperson, provided this statement, and I'm quoting him now. He says, the Defense Department is excited to welcome Elon Musk to the Pentagon on Friday. He was invited by Secretary Hegseth and is just visiting. Eric.
So you lie first, and then the Department of Defense tells you the truth, but you make sure you broadcast the lie from the New York Times, which is funded by us, by the way. We fund Goebbels via NGOs. Millions and millions of dollars every year goes to the New York Times via NGOs. Millions of dollars goes to Reuters via NGOs. We fund our own Goebbels opposition. Musk set to get access to top secret U.S. plan for potential war. That's just like Trump. Trump was selling classified documents to the Russians. I mean, all of these people need to be sued into oblivion. The Pentagon is scheduled on Friday to brief Elon Musk on U.S. military's plan for any war that might break out with China. Two U.S. officials. Oh, Aaron, here it is again. Yeah. The two U.S. officials.
Of course.
Who are the U.S. officials? They're officially U.S. people. They're officially U.S. citizens. Is that what these two U.S. officials are? Is that who they are? Or are they former U.S.? They don't have, they don't say whether they're current or they're former. Mm-hmm. Or what are they officially? They're two U.S. Official cafeteria workers at the DOD. This is an absolute bold-faced lie. And this is what's causing, again, if you're going to pin J6 on Donald Trump, which J6 was a Fed's erection instigated by the FBI and the State Department, I know all of that. But if you're going to pin it on Donald Trump, then any violence against Elon Musk needs to be pinned on Caitlin Collins. If instigation is in and of itself a crime, is this not instigation? Yeah. That you're saying that Elon Musk fraudulently saying, knowingly, and Caitlin Collins knows this is a bold-faced lie. She knows it's a bold-faced lie, and she says it anyway. Because then she made sure, she did a little clarification at the end, where the State Department comes out and says, it's just a visit. Nothing official. Well, then what? But these two officials. So the actual officials tell you that it's just a visit and that there is nothing that's going to be discussed that's substantive at all. But the unnamed officials are the ones who are given the credence. All right, go to the next one for me. Donald J. Trump, True Social post. The fake news is at it again. This time, the failing New York Times. They said incorrectly that Elon Musk is going to the Pentagon tomorrow to be briefed on any potential war with China. Why would he be briefed on a war with China? This is the guy in charge of Doge. How ridiculous. China will not even be mentioned or discussed. How disgraceful it is that the discredited media can make up such lies. Anyway, the story is completely untrue. So if any violence happens to Elon Musk, because they're all saying that he's running the government, that he's a Nazi, that you know he shouldn't have access to all of the information that he has, even though everybody else has access to it. Whoopi Goldberg, he has access to my private information. So what? Numerous unnamed federal employees have had access to your information for decades, you moron. What's the difference between them and Elon? Nothing. All right, so go to the next one. Pick from Breitbart. So here's the thing, and all these people need to be held accountable if there's violence against Elon Musk, because that's the new rule. If you instigate violence via your words, then you are responsible for the violence that ensues afterwards. That's what it says, even if they can make a tacit connection. Donald Trump saying that the 2020 election was stolen, which is actually absolutely true, is held responsible for any violence that occurred on 1-6. So that's a tacit connection, sort of. Tacit is even too broad of a word. So it doesn't even qualify as tacit. So Donald Trump has some sort of tacit connection because the J6 protest occurred because Donald Trump protested the election. So anybody that got injured is the responsibility of Donald Trump. Okay, well, this is a tacit connection right here. Jimmy Kimmel justifies Tesla terrorism, spreads false Nazi claims. Okay, so any violence against Tesla or Elon Musk, the idiot, is responsible for it. Go to the next one for me. Thomas Earn video. Here's Jamal Bowman on CNN. Play it for me.
That's not true. And this shows, again, the American people do not trust Elon Musk. And Elon Musk is incompetent in his position. And how do we know? Because they fired tens of thousands of people. It was challenged in court. The court said the people have to go back. And now the people are coming back. He's incompetent. He's a thief. He's a Nazi. And people don't trust him. Period. Okay.
So he's incompetent. He's a thief. And he's a Nazi. Okay, first of all, now he can be sued and needs to be. Elon Musk needs to sue Jamal Fire Alarm Boy Bowman. He needs to be sued into oblivion for calling him a thief and a Nazi. What has he stolen? Jamal, who committed a felony by pulling the fire alarm to stop a House proceeding. Isn't that an insurrection by Democratic Party terms? Stopping the functioning of the Congress, according to them, even if you only do it for 2.5 hours on J6, it's an insurrection. No, there's no guns required for insurrection anymore. So pulling a fire alarm to stop a congressional proceeding should qualify as an insurrection. But he's never faced any real criminal charges for it, though. But he was mistaking that for a doorknob. That was his explanation for pulling a fire alarm. Anybody ever done that? You ever accidentally pulled a fire alarm when you thought it was a doorknob?
No.
I thought it was an exit. Well, what does that have to do with it? It's a little box on the wall. How in the world do you mistake that for a doorknob? Because you're Jamal Idiot Bowman. That's why. So he calls him a thief and calls him a Nazi. He needs to be sued for defamation into oblivion because he needs to be brought in front of a judge. And hey, you know what, Jamal? Tell us exactly what Elon has stolen. There he is right there. That's the doorknob. Now, all of us now, if that was us, you see the doorknob, which right there is a pressure bar. You push that bar right, you see, right behind it. Push the bar, walk out. And Jamal Bowman mistook that 2-foot-long brass push bar for that. And this person used to, because he got blown out in his election because he's an idiot. This person makes decisions about the future of America. And he can't tell the difference between a 2-foot-long brass bar and that. That's Jamal Bowman. So Jamal Bowman, he needs to be held responsible for violence like this. Look at this. Katie Davenport video. New on March 19th, a masked male suspect hunted down a woman. What offense do you guys think? For driving a Tesla in Seattle. Play it for me.
Angry because she was driving a Tesla.
I was thankfully by myself.
Lee was on the way to a doctor's appointment in Linwood Wednesday morning when she says all of a sudden a driver behind her just laid on the horn as they came up to a red light. Things spiraled out of control when a white SUV followed her and cut her off, stopping in the middle of the road.
He gets out and walks straight up to my door window. So I crack my window and I said, what is the problem? And he goes, you need to sell your car. This is a Nazi car. You're driving it. You need to sell your car.
Lee says she's been driving a Tesla for the last 2 years. She says a man wearing a camouflage jacket and a ski mask attacked her for it.
It's really sad, like, that this is what's happening to people who, honestly, it doesn't affect how I believe or what I believe. Just the car I drive. Being in Seattle, it was climate's important, our footprint's important. This seemed like the right move for our very busy family.
This, however, isn't the first incident or act of vandalism reported. We've seen attack after attack after attack. Tesla's set ablaze at the Las Vegas Service Center earlier this week, with the culprit leaving behind the word resist. In Oregon, shots were fired at a dealership, and in Massachusetts, charging stations were torched. These incidents have only intensified since CEO Elon Musk has taken a prominent role in the Trump administration while slashing government jobs and spending.
Felt so intentional. Felt exactly what he was there to do.
Sell your car! Sell your car!
There was even a website, now taken down, sharing the personal information of Tesla owners to pressure them to sell their vehicles.
If it was to align with what we thought, that it's easy to just, you know, turn over a $60,000 car and find something new that works, that's not a decision that everybody can make overnight. And I think that puts a lot of us in a hard position.
Now, since being confronted, Lee says that she started taking the highways in order to feel more visible and avoid those back road stop signs. At the same time, though, she also tells me that she's made several reports regarding this incident. We're waiting to hear back if this individual is going to be facing any consequences in Seattle.
So Jamal Bowman and Jimmy Kimmel and everybody else calling Elon Musk a Nazi is responsible for events like this. They're absolutely responsible. They are their rhetoric calling him a Nazi. What is Elon Musk, according to Jamal Bowman and Jimmy Kimmel, call him a Nazi and instigate violence against Tesla and Elon Musk and instigate events like this? Can you imagine if this was you? Now, I know how this would go with a lot of you. That guy would not be walking normally right now. We'll just leave it at that. I mean, I could tell you right now, like, if that was Brent, that guy would not be walking normally. Okay, he jumps out of a car like this, stops in the middle of a highway,
dude,
and does this. This is, the left feels justified in doing this because of the rhetoric of the Democratic Party and Jamal Bowman and Jimmy Kimmel and all the rest of them. Rick Wilson saying, kill Tesla, save America. That's what Rick Wilson just got kicked off of Twitter permanently because he put that out there from the Lincoln Project, the Lenin Project, aptly named by Dan Bongino. Imagine this. Do Republicans ever do this? Show me one video of a Republican ever doing this. If you're a leftist and you've stumbled upon this podcast, send me any video. You call us the violent ones. Now, isn't that Nazi-esque? That's more Night of a Thousand Knives than anything a Republican has ever done. We as Republicans never do this. Never. But this is what the left is instigating. All right, let's go to the next one. I'll stay on this all night. But whether it's Jimmy Kimmel, whether it's Bowman, they are responsible for incidents like that. Overton video. Now, Doge staffer speaks out. Listen to the numbers that he reveals. By the way, this guy speaking is Big Balls. This guy's big. This is the Big Balls. This is him. Doge staffer speaks out, unveiling mission to fix IRS outdated infrastructure. Play it for me.
Yeah, I've been brought in to look at the IRS's modernization program in particular, as well as the operations and maintenance budget. I really care a lot about this country, and this is a huge program that's currently 30 years behind schedule, and it's already $15 billion over budget.
Wait a second. Explain to our viewers what the program is in layman's terms.
Yeah, so the goal is to take... The IRS has some pretty legacy infrastructure. It's actually very similar to what banks have been using. It's old mainframes running COBOL and assembly. And the challenge has been, how do we migrate that to a modern system? Virtually every bank has already done this, but we're still using a lot of those same systems. And typically in industry, this takes a few years, maybe a few hundred million dollars. And we're now 35 years into this program. We've actually been, if you ask them now, it's 5 years away. And it's been 5 years away since 1990. It was supposed to be delivered in 1996, and it's still 5 years away.
$16 billion. Okay, as a Democrat, you're in favor of continuing down the exact same path where you have, I don't know all of the verbiage there because he's talking in like digital, I mean, even pre-digital verbiage about old code. That's where we're at. We have like old, you know, like zip drive or floppy disk level technology that was supposed to be updated by 1996. We're $16 billion over in budget already. And they say they're 5 years away, which they said they were in 1990.
Yeah.
5 years away from the update. That's how great the government is. And the Democrats want to maintenance that status quo. To be a Democrat, you want to maintenance the status quo of a antique computer IRS infrastructure system that hasn't been updated since the 80s. But they're spending money on the update even though it's never been updated. As a Democrat, you want to continue to run the government that way. And so to this day, they say, and as Big Ball says there, this should at most cost a couple hundred million. There's $16 billion over budget. So how much have they already spent on it? And they say right now in 2025, they're 5 years away. They said that 35 years ago in 1990. And they're still spending billions on updating the system that they've never updated. So if they're spending billions on an update that never actually gets done, where are those billions going? All right, let's make a hard right-hand turn here. Let's just go to England for just a moment, because I've been wanting to talk about this for a while. This is a stew that's all you get video. I'm going to let the video speak for itself on Muslim crime inside of England. Play for me.
I'm afraid that I have to start this hour with a warning. What I'm about to say, some viewers and listeners will find deeply distressing, but I've made a judgment call that these details need to be out there. There is a special place in hell for these grooming gang monsters who abused a girl as young as 11 years old. Today, Mohammed Omar, Yasser Ajaib, Mohammed Zamir Sadiq, Mohammed Siab, Abid Sadiq, Tahir Yassin, and Ramin Bari were sentenced to a combined total of 106 years in prison. What they did is absolutely disgusting. But you know what else is disgusting? The lack of media coverage. GB News' Charlie Peters was the only broadcast reporter present yesterday as the brave survivors gave their statements. The BBC didn't want to know, not for the first time. One of the girls was groomed near a primary school where they plied her with drugs and alcohol. They ferried her around the country so other predators could use and abuse her and others. One said, "I was only 11. You made me do a test to see if I was still a virgin or not. At that moment, my abuse started. You made it sound like it was a crime to be a virgin. You made me feel ashamed of being a virgin. That same day, you sent me off and forced me to commit a sexual act, and my innocence was stolen. You started to pass me around as if I was a fresh piece of meat, man to man, city to city. All five of you played a massive part in exploiting me. My little childlike body, I was 12, in the back of a taxi. To you, it didn't last long. To me, it lasted a lifetime. I was scared. When you raped me, you made sure you did it properly. I've never felt pain like that before in my life. Another survivor says that she still wakes up screaming in the night. You know what else I find absolutely insane about this? The families of the scumbags who did this were in court, and apparently they were crying, tutting, shaking their heads and moaning when their relatives got long prison sentences. Like they were the victims here. Apparently, some of the female relatives were crying. One lad shouted, "I love you, Dad," as his monster of a father was led away. Another stormed out, slammed a door. Their relatives are behind bars, but it's their victims who have the real life sentence. Maybe they should think about that. This has been going on in Rotherham for decades. These victims had to wait about 22 years for justice. Why? Well, South Yorkshire Police previously admitted to not acting on reports of crimes because they didn't want to stoke racial tensions. Now, the way I look at that is that some people somewhere decided that it was more preferable for young girls to be raped and abused than to run the risk of being called a racist. Rotherham, Rochdale, Aylesbury, Derby, Oxford, Newcastle, the list goes on and on and on. This is just another one of those issues in Britain that we can see happening right before our eyes, but politicians and the establishment media don't want you to talk about it. Well, not on our watch.
All right, guys, give me that pick of those seven guys. Let's try to all figure out as a joint audience together as a project, what do all seven of those men have in common? They're all Muslim men. All imported either legally or illegally into the UK who groomed 11 and 12-year-old women, girls, for mass rape. Not only did they themselves rape an 11-year-old or a 12-year-old, they groomed them so that they were 11 and 12-year-old prostitutes. Right there. But the Muslim faith is perfectly fine. When your icon of the faith, Muhammad himself, was married to a 9-year-old, so he's having sex with a 9-year-old every day of his life. Now, here is a great little video to sum up the night. MTS Mahmoud video, Tommy Robinson, play for me.
Do you believe the Prophet? No, but what was the Prophet Muhammad perfect? What's the Prophet Muhammad perfect? What's the Prophet Muhammad perfect? Okay, yes. So having sex with a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old. How old was she then?
Puberty.
Okay, 9.
Yeah.
And that's perfect, is it? You're sick barbarians, man. Yeah, it's perfect. You believe that having sex with a girl when she starts puberty is fine, isn't it?
Yeah, that's as allowed.
Yeah, that's sick. Allowed. You're sick.
So
you're a paedophile.
You're a nonce.
You're on camera. Yeah, yeah. Take your mask off so the country can see your paedophile face.
Let me see you.
Okay, so you think it's okay to have sex with a child?
No.
Who starts puberty? Someone who starts puberty.
She passed puberty age, yeah?
So if someone starts with puberty, yeah?
Yeah.
Then it's okay to have sex with them?
Yes.
So my daughter, who was 9, yeah, or 10, yeah? Is it okay to have sex with her?
Did she pass puberty?
If she's passed puberty at 10.
It all depends on the
rules
of the country.
You sick nonce. See, this is the problem why we have men round raping kids. Because you fuckers think it's all right. Who decides how mature she is then? You.
The parents.
Oh, the parents. So you decide the maturity of your 9-year-old.
For my 9-year-old, of course.
And if you're 9-year-old and you think she, if your 9-year-old is mature.
If she's maturely ready, physically ready, then that's how you determine.
You're a paedophile, bruv. You're a paedophile. You're a nonce, bruv. And if you've got children, they should be taken off you.
I do not want Britain to be a place where British Muslims are not able to be their whole selves, where they feel they must hide or tone down who they are for fear of being attached to views that are not their own.
And of course, you're wondering how it is that in Leeds this went on for 20 years. It's because of the man you just saw speaking, which is the current Prime Minister of Great Britain, Keir Starmer, who was in charge of their CPS. He's the one who decided whether to prosecute these pedophile Muslims or not. And he decided basically 100% of the time to not prosecute men raping 11-year-olds. Keir Starmer, that's who he is. You're wondering what these people are motivated by? Now you know. Worldwide pedophilia. legalizing and legitimizing sex with small children. An absolute demonic, activity. They'll pay a severe price for it Judgment Day, hopefully before Judgment Day here on Earth. All right, I almost made it. I only failed by 7 minutes. All right, Rumble Rants tonight. Nate Dad won $50. Texas Billy, my friend, $25. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Love you guys in the chat. Thanks for always being there. Oh, come join us this Sunday at Foundation Church. Broke the record last Sunday, right, Aaron?
Yeah.
It broke, well over 800. I think it was 842.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Let's break it again. Let's get to 1,000. Like and share. Let's have a huge church service together at Foundation Church this Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, United States of America. If you're watching somewhere else, you can join. We're on all the platforms. So join us at Foundation Church. Trump is great. There's my shirt. Love Trump. He's the best, but he's not Jesus. You've got to have Jesus, and you've got to have a church. If you want a church that's like this podcast, then join us at Foundation Church this Sunday. I'll take the stage about 11. You'll see Aaron leading worship at about 10:15. Love you guys. Stick around for the post game. It is awesome. If I don't see you on Sunday, I'll see you Monday night, 9 o'clock. God bless each and every one of you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.